grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. How does the gospel lesson begin? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." This is our text. You know, when it comes to changing hearts, you won't find a better example than John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus. But his techniques and his appearance were peculiar. His home was in the Judean desert. His diet of locusts and honey, well, that certainly wasn't featured in a gourmet magazine. And his attire of camel's hair never got him a mention in GQ. His strange demeanor, well, that kind of underlined his brazen message. He called the esteemed religious leaders of his time a brood of vipers, telling them that their ancestry wouldn't save them from the coming retribution. I mean, we might picture John the Baptist as a powerful ice cutter that is carving a lane through the ice of a frozen lake for the kinder and gentler Jesus. I mean, there is some truth in that image, but to limit John to being just a bizarre advanced man, that would be to diminish his contributions to our understanding of Jesus. I mean, John was not some wild-eyed fanatic that was in need of a diet guru and a good haberdasher. John provides us with some profound insights into the meaning of Christ's coming into our world. In today's gospel reading, John actually gives us three definitive statements as to how Jesus really is a light to the nations. First of all, John states that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, who would have thought that John, that camel hair clothing wearer, that locust and honey eating social critic, who would have thought that he could offer such a sensitive insight? By lifting up Jesus as the Lamb of God, John points to the very meaning of Jesus' life. I mean, throughout Scripture, that image of the sacrificial lamb conveys the idea of the persecuted, innocent suffering on behalf of others. And then when you come to the festival of the Passover, that lamb actually becomes the symbol for deliverance. I mean, that was demonstrated in the way that the Passover was observed in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus. In those days, portions of the Passover or Paschal lamb would be offered at the temple, and the remaining lamb portions would be consumed at home during the Passover meal. I mean, to the religious faithful, the lamb meant both sacrifice and deliverance from sin. And so when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," he was saying that Jesus is both the innocent, suffering one and also the triumphant one who conquered sin and death. And I think that is well symbolized in the great Christian symbol of the living lamb carrying a triumphant banner. Jesus is both the Paschal lamb and also the Lamb of victory. So behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," exclaimed John. You know, lambs have the connotation of being meek and mild. And yet this Lamb of God defeated the greatest enemy of humankind, death itself. I mean, John was making a very profound statement when he said, "Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And in the second place, John also teaches us that Jesus was the pre-existent Word. What did he say? "After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me." I mean, that's particularly fascinating because John and Jesus were related. I mean, when Jesus' mother, Mary, told John's mother, Elizabeth, that she was going to have a baby, the baby within Elizabeth leapt for joy. And that leaping baby is John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus. And by saying that Jesus came before me, John wasn't speaking chronologically, but he was speaking theologically. He was pointing to that great truth that we find in the prologue of John's gospel. "In the beginning was the Word." That's Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus is the Word of God? In his book, Just Like Us, Max Lucado tells how in Brazil he sometimes served as a translator for visiting English speakers. And he said the speaker stood before the audience, complete with the message, and Lucado stood at his side, equipped with the language. And his job was to convey the speaker's story to the listeners. And Lucado said he did his best to follow the speaker's words, to the words that were going to come through him. He said he wasn't at liberty to embellish or subtract. He said when the speaker got louder, he got louder. When the speaker made gestures, he made gestures. When the speaker got quiet, he said, Lucado says, he did too. And he makes this parallel. When he walked this earth, Jesus was translating God all the time. When God got louder, Jesus got louder. When God gestured, Jesus gestured. The fact is, he was so in sync with the Father that he could declare, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." And John tells us that Christ is the Lamb of God. He tells us that Christ is the pre-existent Word of God. And here's John the Baptist's final and crowning insight, that Jesus is the Son of God. That was revealed to John by the voice of God, and it flows out of the understanding that Jesus, the Word of God, has become flesh and dwelt among us. You see, when Jesus allowed John to baptize him, it surprised John. He felt unworthy even to untie Jesus' sandals, much less baptize him. Yet Jesus was baptized to show his identification with John's work, as well as to offer an identifying sign. And that sign was the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus as God's voice spoke the words that really, the words that every child should hear from his dad. "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." And I think if more kids could hear unconditional love from their dads, like Jesus heard from his dad, I think many of our social ills would decrease. See, it makes a big difference in our lives when we know that we're loved. In fact, people whose lives are twisted with hatred for others are usually people who never received unconditional love. We love, says the writer of 1 John, because he first loved us. You see, acts of unconditional love have tremendous redeeming power. It was a Saturday morning in January in Michigan. A blizzard was in full force. Pastor Frank Lyman was making a hospital call, and when he returned to his van, he discovered that he had a flat tire. This was not a pleasant situation, but he thought to himself, well, at least I remembered my gloves. Well, that self-congratulation was short-lived, because when he pulled the gloves out of his pocket, he found out that they were both left-handed gloves. Well, have you ever attempted to jack up a van, to change a tire in a blizzard while wearing a backwards glove? And he testified that it exceeded his dexterity. And after 25 minutes of trying to jack the van up, says he gave up and called a wrecker. And he had waited about 20 minutes in the hospital lobby when one of the hospital's maintenance staff came up to him and asked, do you own that white van in the parking lot? Yeah, he said. And the maintenance man said, well, I just finished changing your tire, and I wanted to know where you wanted me to put the spare. Well, Lyman couldn't believe it. Says he was witnessing a miracle. And as far as he was concerned, he expected to see the Touch by an Angel gang at any moment. But he said, but this was real. And the man who fixed his tire wouldn't accept any money. He wouldn't even give his name. He just wanted to be helpful. Well, that unknown Good Samaritan's gift to Pastor Lyman, that was a gift of grace. It was a gift of unmerited favor. I mean, oftentimes, negative experiences cast a gloomy pall over our lives. But this gift of grace cast a sunbeam into his snowy winter of discontent. And all he could do to express his gratitude was to write the hospital a letter of commendation and to live more faithfully as a person of grace himself. And you know, that is the way that the Lord Jesus works in our lives. He loves us unconditionally. And the only way that we can return such love is through loving others. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the pre-existent Word of God who reveals to us the will of the Father. And Jesus is the Son of God, the one whose unconditional love compels and enables us to love one another. And the final verse of our text says, the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. You know, we also have come to know the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I pray that we also might feel the urgency of sharing that message. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.